A friend is always a friend. Proverbs 17:17. He who believes me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who beholds me beholds him who sent me. These are the words of the Master. Realizing the truth, meaning clearly that the unmanifest and the manifest are one. There can be no separation between the manifest and the unmanifest. There can be no separation between the unseen and the seen. One is but the manifestation of the other. The unmanifest is that which is real. The manifest is that which is created. That which is created is in itself the effect, but that which is uncreated is the cause. Therefore, in reality, we see that it is the unmanifest that is real. The manifest is the effect of the cause. The abstract is the real. The relative is not real. It is the effect. Now, if you realize this truth again and see it clearly, you will see what I mean. As you cannot separate the unmanifest, the uncreated, from the created. You cannot separate the unseen from the seen. Therefore, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who beholds me beholds him who sent me. There is a continual struggle going on in the world today, individually and collectively. Each one is seeking security, spiritually and materially. In the material sense, there is a struggle to pile up wealth and possessions, which only bring sorrow and conflict. And in the spiritual, there is a desire for acquisition of virtues. In this way, virtues become a vice. There is no security in any of these. There is only security in the realization of what I have told you. Realization of the truth, that there is but one, and all is a manifestation of that one. If we look upon the things that are seen, and we depend upon them, then we are lost on these things which are not real. But if we begin to understand and see the great truth, that behind everything is that reality, that in itself is the foundation of everything created. And in that uncreated is the power to create. In the uncreated is the power of all things, the intelligence and the power, where we see that we ourselves, then, have our roots in the uncreated. We have our roots in the unseen. We have our roots in the unmanifest. Therefore, the manifest and the unmanifest are the same and are one. Therefore, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. With this struggle, the world becomes an arena for competitive systems of material and spiritual dominance. This dominance has created opposition, quarrels and conflicts between the individual and groups. What the individual is, so the world is. Man has separated the material and the spiritual, and there is no separation anywhere. The one is but the expression of the other. All is of the one source, Therefore the division arises in the mind of man, and this is the cause of struggle. Cause of struggle is not being aware of the source of things. Some people despise the materialist. They think he is not spiritual, while they themselves think they are spiritual. But is the one who thinks himself spiritual any better than the one who is a materialist? They are both caught up in the same sorrow, the same conflict. They are still bound in their desires. They are still continually bound in their craving, even if it is for material or spiritual. The same thing, craving is craving, and it makes no difference when you crave for the material or the crave for the spiritual. If one is as far away from you as the other, then you do not know the truth. But I know the truth, that the unmanifest and the manifest are the same. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus was correct. He was the greatest man the world has ever known. His wisdom and his knowledge of the truth surpasses any of the other prophets, because he was a prophet of prophets. And he was a prophet, of course, that Moses spoke of, knowing well that the time would come when a prophet would be required into the world as the world progressed, so that the world would understand the truth. Otherwise, what would happen to the world is happening today. And only through the realization of the teachings of the Master, understood, mind you. Therefore, our minds must become his mind. Our desires must become his desires. Our love must become his love. And then we will find the truth here and now. Wherever there is craving, there is not understanding. Some crave material things through the aid of spiritual means. Some crave the spiritual through form and ritual. This craving is merely limitation and frustration. They look to the future while bound by the past and miss the ever-present reality, which is the only security and freedom. If then we see clearly these great truths, how easy it is for us to transcend all these things and live free from worry, free from tribulation, trials, free from antagonisms, free from doubt, free from all these things that injure the mind and body of man. So wherever there is craving, there is not understanding, whether the craving is for spiritual or material. And some crave material things through the aid of spiritual means. How often do we see this? Is that the true teachings of truth? Of course it's not. That's nonsense. If you desire anything, then it's the desire itself that brings forth the thing, not reality. The fulfillment of the desire is the desire itself, but that is not a reality. And that is not real. To know reality, you will find everything, and you will never struggle. There is no need for struggle. So some crave the material, the spiritual, through form of ritual. This craving is merely limitation and frustration. And how many people look to the future while bound by the past? If you are bound by the past and you look to the future, or your mind is caught up in the past, there is this conflict, This is sorrow. And by doing so, you miss the ever-present reality. That reality that is now and is your only security and your only freedom, becoming none other. And it is this that the Master knew, and it's these things the Master knew that I am trying to show you clearly, because the Master's mind, I feel often when I come in here, and I feel the Master's mind and my mind are one. His thoughts seem to be given expression through my mind. And I know very often that it is true. A person may crave for health but recognize disease. A person craves for success but recognizes failure. The mind is a cause of opposites which lead to conflict and frustration. Even the denial of your troubles does not eliminate them, for this is not understanding. Only by understanding can these opposites be dissolved, and with them craving and conflict and frustration go. When we become aware that we ourselves are the creators of our own conflict and sorrow, we will begin to dissolve the cause. But when we are imprisoned, we will still be ignorant of the cause, because we are caught up in the effect, and that is the prison. When only we are out of prison, can we discern the light. And the prison is of our own making, bound by tradition, dogmas, creeds, ignorant of the ever-present presence. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know that this ever-present presence is always with us. As I am talking about it now, these words of mine make it relative. It's the only way of expressing myself. Therefore, but in your own hearts you will know that you are alive and living. Your living now is the means of the presence. And it is proof that the ever-present presence is always present. And that living will go on continuously. If you will recognize then that in life consciousness dwells and is the director in all things, you will see then that whatever you are consciously aware of, so it is done unto you. You become aware then of your own consciousness. You become aware of your own creativeness, and you become aware of that which has given you the power to create, which always remains with you. That is great truth that Jesus said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who beholds me beholds him who sent me." It is only when we become aware that we are the creators of our own prison can we break down these walls. Being prisoners, we are perpetually concerned with what is truth, what is light, what is God. In the intensity of our suffering, we try to imagine what is truth, what is God, what is freedom. Without thinking, without knowing the cause of our suffering, we only bring the idea of truth, the idea of God, our freedom, into our prison. We are still prisoners, and therefore we cannot escape until we become aware of the cause of the prison in which we are in. What we must do is to rid the mind of opposites, so that we no longer struggle with opposites. Health, disease, success, failure, virtue, sin, spiritual, material, good and evil, God and the devil, etc., etc. We must live in the present without struggle, without limitation, without fear of the past or for the future. The living presence is the eternal life in you now. But we will never know it if we are bound by opposites. If your mind is taken up with fear and faith, if your mind is taken up with health and disease, well, these things do not exist in the present. Oh my God, when I see and realize this truth of the present, that itself is free from all these opposites, and I am that presence, and become aware of the fact the power of reality flows through my whole system. My mind becomes clear, my consciousness aware, my body filled with the truth and life. I become free from all these things. There is no longer fear of the past or fear for the future, because the living presence is always present and is the eternal life now. I am that life. I am the life, the Master said. What he said for us. What he did for us. What he showed for us. He fulfilled the will of the Father, so that everything he did, you will see, was completely meant to lead the children of God into the truth of the everlasting life. Whatever he did, you will see that he neither condemned those who injured him, but asked forgiveness. You will see that he never spoke one word of hate, but he submitted to everything, knowing that there was a greater power, and he showed this greater power. We will see as we follow along in his footsteps, and we see all he did was truly the will of the Father. Pure thought is only possible when all illusions have been discerned. Then there is no mental effort needed to realize the resident cosmic power within our mind and body. There is when we concentrate on things. The cosmic presence is ever present and therefore must be the only reality. He that cometh to God must know that he is. This when we look away from the living presence, this indwelling intelligence, to look upon appearances as reality, we get lost in illusion. It is when we look away from the living presence, see the living presence. I see it in you, and you see it in me. There can be nothing else, because it's the living presence that gives you this living presence now, which will be eternal and is eternal. So it is when we look away from the living presence, this indwelling intelligence, to look upon appearances as a reality, we get lost in illusion. The presence is complete in itself and is a creative power in you and me. We do not realize the presence by living only in carrots and turnips, nor we do realize it by going round in rags, nor do we realize it by sitting on the mountain top. Only by the discernment of all that is false can this living presence, this creativeness, be realized. The realization of the living presence as your own creative power is so effective when thoroughly understood that it removes all fear, craving and limitation from the mind. When the cause of fear, craving and limitation is dissolved through understanding, reality takes its place. Reality is there always waiting to take its place. It's only the I that prevents it. It's the ego self that is continually holding back this ever presence. The ego self, the I. Therefore, as Jesus says clearly and distinctly, unless you give up your life, you shall lose it. But if you give up your life, you shall retain it. That is to say, clearly, modern language and words is to give up the self and all the self stands for, and then you will retain that self. But from a different point of view, you retain the self that is behind the self. No one can describe the indescribable, but you will know if you are burdened with illusions, false beliefs, cravings, which create opposites and prevent understanding. You will readily see that these hindrances are preventing the true expression of the indescribable. It is not what God is, but that He is. And His presence must be realized not as separate from oneself, but the greater self, and which is behind every other self as well. This is what the Master saw and did. He knew these words, now you can realize what His words mean, I and the Father are one. The unmanifest and the manifest were one and the same. The unseen and the seen were one and the same. The presence can only be understood when we do not compare, judge, or condemn. The continual renewal of the mind by the Spirit can only be done when there is no birth or death or memory of the past. Listen to me. If I live in the presence of God now, then I know no past. I know no future. Because I am living in eternity. This must be realized by yourselves. I wish I could give you this realization in my head, but even written words will not give it to you. Yes, even Jesus said, and you search the scriptures, and you think you find eternal life, you make a mistake. Meaning to say you cannot find eternal life in the Word or in the Scriptures. You can only find it in yourself. In comprehending the past, there must be no distinction in the present, no disturbance that prevents renewal of the Spirit, the ever-present presence. If there is a disturbance in your mind, reference the past, then you will never know the present. There is no disturbance in the presence. The disturbance in your mind. If your mind is disturbed, how can you observe the presence that is eternal, calm and peaceful? Even the wind creates the waves in the sea surface, the depth, there is silence and peace. If the mind then is troubled with the past, how can you understand the ever-present present? That is eternal and ever-present. It is so extraordinary to think and know few have grasped this great truth. How many minds are troubled of the past? Can you understand then the presence of God? That is eternal and all-powerful, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, all knowledge, all wisdom, all power, and ever-present, present everywhere. Can you understand the very depths of this great power that is within you? If you are then ruffled on the surface, if your mind is caught up in the past, if your mind is troubled, know there is peace only in the stillness of the mind and the realization of the presence of yours or mine. When the mind is saddled with memory, pregnant with scars of experience, the mind is ever giving continuity to its own scars and conditioning the present. This is binding the self, and there can be no renewal until this is discerned. When we live fully, experiences do not leave traces behind, for the present is eternal, free and unconditioned. We will see how clearly this is out-portrayed in the parable that we will cover tonight, parable of the prodigal son. How can a mind that is conditioned understand the unconditioned? That is beyond all value, beyond all comparisons. How can a mind that's divided understand that which is not divided? How can a mind caught up in beliefs understand that which has no belief? How can a mind that is caught up in separation, tradition, right and wrong, good and bad, high and low, understand that which these things do not exist? How can you understand that in which these things do not exist if you are caught up in them? Surely this truth is the only truth. I am putting to you in modern language the Master's teachings. In Luke 14, verse 26, Eastern text, he who comes to me and does not put aside his father and his mother and his brothers and his sisters and his wife and his children and even his own life, he cannot be a disciple to me. This verse has created a lot of difficulty to many But when we see what Jesus is explaining, we see the wonderful truth. Mother, father, sister, brother, and self is limitation and separation. Unless we put aside then this separation which we cling to, we can never be disciples of the Christ. To me, this is one of the most profound statements of the Master. Because the Christ is greater than all these. The Christ is that which is in every one of us. Unless we can put everything aside, so that we can see the Christ clearly and distinctly, without separation, without distinction, then we can be no disciples of the Master. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its savor, with what can it be salted? Jesus meant the Spirit is all. But if we divide it in our minds, it has lost its value to us. With what then can you restore its value? Nothing. You can't restore that value unless you comprehend and discern what you are doing and immediately remove the falseness. Then you will find the reality is there. In Luke 15:1-3 it states, Then the publicans and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured, saying, He receives even the sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable, the parable of the shepherd and his sheep. This parable is better portrayed in fewer words in Matthew 18:12-14. Tell me, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them strays, will he not leave the 99 sheep on the hills and go in search of the one that has strayed? And if he happens to find it, I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that a single one of these little ones should be lost. Here is one truth. No, there is none more. This lesson the Master showed here is that the fold is one fold, and not one can be lost, even if one is astray. The good shepherd shall find it and take it back into the fold, so that the fold may be complete. Again, Jesus shows that there can be no separation in the Father's house in which we all live. The only separation is in our own minds, and it is this that prevents the wholeness from manifesting through us. Now we come to the most beautiful parable of all, and we can gather the true meaning of the Master's words only when we have dissolved away all separation, all hate, envy, self-righteousness, or righteous anger, which is an absurdity. People say that I'm righteously angry. There's no such thing as righteous anger. It's a fool who says these things. Anger is a lack of understanding, lack of wisdom. No matter what kind of anger it may be, it's the same thing. It's only an excuse because you are angry. Luke 15:11-32, Moffat's translation. He also said, There was a man who had two sons. And the younger said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. So he divided his means among them. Not many days later, the younger son sold off everything and went abroad to a distant land, where he squandered his means in loose living. After he had spent his all, severe famine set in throughout the land, and he began to feel in want. So he went and attached himself to a citizen of that land, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was fain to fill his belly with the pods the swine were eating. No one gave him anything, but when he came to his senses, he said, How many hired men of my father have more than enough to eat, and here am I perishing in hunger. I will be up and off to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. Only make me like one of your hired men. So he got up, went off to his father. But when he was still far away, his father saw him and felt pity for him and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. But the father said to the servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for my son here was dead, and now he comes to life. He was lost, and he is found. So they began to make merry. Now the elder son was out in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So, summoning one of the servants, he asked what this meant. The servant told him, Your brother has arrived, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. This angered him, and he would not go in. His father came out and tried to appease him, but he replied, Look, all these years I've been serving you. I never neglected any of your orders, and yet you never given me as much as a kid to let me make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours arrives, after wasting your means with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. Father said to him, My son, you and I are always together. All I have is yours. We could not but make merry and rejoice, for your brother here was dead, and he has now come to life again. He was lost, but he is found. Now verses 11 and 12 show that the father did not hesitate to give his son his share when he asked. Verse 13 shows the son gathering all together and going away to a foreign land. The foreign land is separation, and he spends all his inheritance in this state of separation that we are now in at this present time. After spending all, there is a famine, and he feels the want. He feels a pang of separation, the absolute void of heart which has sacrificed everything for pleasure and which has left him nothing but suffering. Verse 15, and he was sent into the field to feed the swine. This work being the lowest possible degradation to a Jew was to feed swine. Verse 16, and his hunger, his unsatisfied desire, because no desire can be satisfied while you are in a separation. There is always the inward poverty through lack of understanding of the ever-presence. And his hunger, his unsatisfied desire would make him eat even the swine's food. And nobody cared about him, whether he starved or died. This is the world of the jungle that we are in now, this very moment. No one cares about anyone in the life of separation. It is everyone for himself. Is that not so? Can you tell me it is any different? Yes, it was just as bad now as it was at that time when Jesus spoke these words. And he spoke knowing the conditions, just as we are seeing the same conditions today. Verse 17, he came to himself, came to his senses and returned to a healthy state of mind. Verse 18, his sin, his life and separation had not destroyed the relationship to his Father. That no matter what he did in the world of separation, he was still a living being, because the Spirit of God still lived in him and gave him life, gave him consciousness, has given new consciousness and life now. The Father can never be separated from you in any way whatsoever. It is he himself who is living in you. Therefore, his separation, his degradation, his sense of sin never destroyed the relationship between himself and his Father. Verse 19, repentance complete. He says, I shall go. He feels the repentance. He casts the burden. He frees himself from a burden and he begins to return, begins to see the truth, the only living being. Verse 20. Return to his Father. Return to his realization of the unlimited state of his Father's house. His Father recognized him at once and went to greet him. Father welcomed him before he had time to make his confession. Father knows what is in your heart. If your heart is full of love, then you have entered the Father's house. As you saw the other night, the robe in which the man was not dressed in, the robe of love. How did you get in here, my man? And the man was speechless. So is everyone else speechless if they do not have the robe of love. That's the only protecting robe that there can never be, because the Father is love. So here we see the love of the Father. The Father welcomed him before he had time to make his confession. The Father knows what is in his heart, so he put his arms around his neck and kissed him. This is the recognition of union. the two together in that kiss of embrace, and the two become one. That is love. Verse 21, the Son said, I have strayed from thy sight, I am not worthy. Verse 22, before the Son could finish, the Father said, bring forth quickly, at once, the best robe and put it on him, a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Complete. These three are the three marks of honor. This is also upheld in the higher degrees of masonry today. Verse 23, the fatted calf, the one that is kept for a great occasion. Verse 24, lost in separation, now found in unity, dead to the truth, now living to the eternal, ever-present, the Father. Verse 25 to 32, these verses rebuke the murmurings of the Pharisees. Now the elder brother's son was out in the field, and he came near the house, and he heard music and dancing. So summoning one of his servants, he asked, what does this mean? The servant told him, your brother has arrived and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. This angered him and he would not go in. His father came out and tried to appease him, but he replied, look, all these years I've been serving you. I never neglected any of your orders, and yet you have never given me as much as a kid to let me make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours arrives, after wasting your means with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. The father said to him, my son, you and I are always together. All I have is yours. We could not but make merry, rejoice, for your brother here was dead, and he has come to life again. He was lost, but he is found. Is that not what the churches are today denying? They look upon dancing and music as a means of frivolity. That is wrong. But Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their stupid hypocrisy, their irreligious religion. Is it not the same today that this irreligious religion is paramount? Where people look upon things as evil? Don't you see that they're living in separation? That's why they always cry about the devil, because they're living in separation. And separation is the devil. And wherever you see separation and wherever you see the devil, there is denial of the absolute God. Because if you accept that the devil is a reality, then you deny the absolute God. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for their stupid, irreligious religion. Verses 25 to 28, the elder brother who attends to his religious duties is angered by his brother's return to the house, especially when he heard the great merriment and laughter. He would not go in. In fact, he could not go in, being bound in separation, and was even a greater sinner, being a hypocrite. But the father treats both sons alike, the hypocrite and the sinner, both alike. One who thought he was spiritual was the hypocrite, but the sinner was even more honest because he said, I shall go back to my father, and in my father's house I shall find this. verse 29 to 31, shows the jealousy of the elder brother. Is it not the same today? Here the father shows his relationship. Son, you and I are always together. All I have is yours. Verse 32 shows the true relationship of your brother. Here he was dead, now alive, was lost, now found. Your brother. This parable I have mentioned many times in different ways, yet only can we grasp its true meaning when we have discerned our own shortcomings, our jealousy, our envy, our greed, separation, and all that hinders the Father doing his work in us. In moments of great creativeness are moments of great beauty, in which there is a deep, undisturbed composure. In these moments, there is complete absence of the self, with all its conflicts. In this is the highest form of thought feeling, from the heart mind, that has found peace in wholeness. Having once experienced this living stillness, one must not cling to the memory of it, for this prevents further experience of reality. Many times that we have reached this stillness, and we try to recapture it again. We try to memorize it and hold the memory of it. That is wrong. There are greater vistas. Greater because of the presence that is ever present. It is not the memory of that experience that is necessary, but the realization of the presence that is ever present. Then these experiences will come more and more into your lives. We must become deeply aware of that which hinders the expression of this living stillness. Only in utter simplicity, when all craving has ceased, is the bliss of the living presence realized. Unless you become as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of realization of truth. The king and his kingdom, Pilate said to Jesus, "You a king?" He says, "Yes, I was born a king. That's why I was born a king, to witness unto the truth." Everyone is born a king, to witness unto the truth of the kingdom. And everyone is a king in their own kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. But only when you become as a little child, shall you enter that kingdom. When you have discerned and put everything away, there is left the reality that is real, the only reality, the ever presence of God in you and me. Benediction. Father and mother mine, I have learned that all that is thine is mine. I perceive thee in all my joyous activities. Thy silent voice cheers me while I work and play. While I am awake, sleeping, or dreaming, thy presence is always with me. In every heartthrob, in every breath, it is thy presence that lives. Thy beauty is beyond description, Father, Mother, Lord.